Hello, and welcome to episode 48 of Oral Intensity, a podcast about Glee. I'm Dan.
And I'm Clara.
And today, we're talking about episodes 9 and 10 of season 4, entitled
Swan Song and Glee Actually.
Yeah, Glee Actually. All right, so we've been gone for a long time.
Yeah, sorry guys.
A little bit over 2 months. I was not expecting that to happen.
We had some technical difficulties, actually, as some of you who follow us on Twitter know about.
Yeah, if some reason I stopped being able to podcast on from school, like the internet was like interfering with the thing I used to record Skype. I don't know what it is, but we're getting a new internet service over. We got a new one like over winter break. I'm still home right now, but hopefully when I go back, it will be working again. I don't really know. And then I also thought we might be able to get more done during winter break, but like Dylan went to Vietnam. I got my wisdom teeth out. Claire was doing her stuff that she does. And so
that makes it sound like I have no life, but
you have.
I was traveling too.
Ha. You traveling traveler. So yeah, so we obviously are not doing the episodes that we are was supposed to do next, but we figured you guys would rather us do the ones closer to the current timeline. And we'll eventually, you know, maybe in the summer or something, go back maybe.
That's sort of what we're thinking now.
Not gonna say we're definitely gonna go back, but if we have time, we will at some point go back.
Yeah, we might be able to do something like Glee Project and an episode of Glee, or I don't know, something.
I mean, especially like if I come back in May or whatever, you know, if I force Dylan to get caught up and stuff, well, but when May before Glee Project starts up, we could probably knock out a couple. Yeah, so also I should mention we're on Skype again, just for people if they're like, I think the audio might be fine. We sound pretty good right now. But
we always sound good, Dan.
Clearly. So yeah, well, we're going to be rusty too, and we're going to see what happens. So we're doing Swan Song and Glee Actually. I mean, I want to talk about them because I like A, like these episodes, and B, it just like next week it's going to come back, and I figured we'd be right on track, and hopefully we can stay on track, but you know, who knows what will happen.
Yeah.
All right, so Swan Song. Oh, unless, let's just say, how you doing, Clara? You doing good?
Oh, I'm doing well. So I'm back at school, obviously. My classes have started because I have a pretty short winter break.
How's your semester or quarter or whatever your trimester?
We have quarters, but they're actually trimesters, but they're called quarters.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know either. Seems like it's going pretty well. I have lots of work already, so I don't know what that means for my future. But yeah, it's going well. Watching lots of TV.
Yeah.
Besides Glee.
Yeah, I think we're going to mention some other stuff, other shows at the end of this podcast, because I just want to talk about other shows too. But I was just buying my books for next semester, and I went and looked at like what my classes needed for books. I only have to buy one book this semester.
That's so nice.
It's crazy.
That's really great.
Because I thought I was going to have to buy books for my history classes, but all we have to use is articles, so we don't have to buy any books.
Yeah, that's really great. That's one of my history classes is like that, too. It's such a relief.
So that's really cool. All right, let's talk about Swan Song.
Mm-hmm.
How would you grade it?
A minus?
Okay, I can go for that. I think.
What about you, Dan?
I think I would agree. Like, it's not like it's like perfection or anything, but it was a solid episode. And I think that A, the music was a lot better than it's been in a while, and B, it delivered at least like interesting storylines on both New York and at school. So.
Yeah, I as usual preferred the New York storyline, but.
But at least they're doing something a little different with, you know, having them lose and everything.
Yeah, I was really glad to see that.
Yeah, okay. I'm gonna say a. It's not a spoil. Okay, I'm gonna say something that people can decide whether they think it's a spoiler or not. So I'm gonna tell you what it is. I'm going to say a description for next week's episode. So if you consider a description for next week's episode a spoiler, skip ahead like 13. No, like 30 seconds, because we're gonna talk about it. So skip ahead 30 seconds. Next week's description, they say that Blaine does some investigating about the Warblers cheating during sectionals, which implies to me that she will find out that they cheated and they will be disqualified and they will get into regionals anyway.
Here's what I think. I think there should just instead be an investigation about why New Direction had to leave the stage, and then,
I actually thought like I was glad that they lost, but I thought it was a pretty weak way to because like, come on, what if I mean if Quinn went into pregnancy during performing and they all left, they what if someone got like beat up? What I mean, like, what? It's a medical emergency. It's not like they just like left for no reason. Yeah, so it seems like a kind of a weak thing. I thought that what at because at the end last the episode before this ended with her fainting before she could do her big solo with well doing it with Blaine. So I thought that it was just gonna mean she fainted and so they didn't have their important performer and so they just lose on quality's sake. Kind of makes more sense.
I that should have happened.
But I want to say that if they do go with the whole them losing and then finding out the other team cheated and then them being able to perform anyway. That's the exact storyline of Pitch Perfect.
Well, you know what also doesn't make any sense is that, well, no, never mind.
Makes no sense.
No, I had a thought and then I realized it wasn't.
Yeah. I also, I mean, I think we also have this in email a little bit too. I guess A. There were a couple issues I had with this. Okay, so Marley has, this problem, and she's very sick because of it. And everybody, not everybody, I mean, Finn's very good about it, but everybody else like hates on her. Tina, I just want to kill by the end of this episode.
And Archie.
Yeah, she called him Archie instead of Artie.
Oh, oops, sorry. I've been watching. Okay. Never mind. We'll talk about other TV shows later.
But yeah, and but not only that, but A, all the seniors that were in the episode before suddenly disappear, except for Santana, who's only in that one scene for like half a second, and here too. And then also, Kitty never gets any sort of comeuppance or anything. She doesn't feel guilty about making the team lose. She doesn't feel happy about making the team lose. We don't see anything from her. She never, nobody ever finds out that she was the main problem. She never gets the kicked off or anything.
That might happen like in a
I
month.
guess, but that seems too little too late, doesn't it?
Yes.
See, that's weird, but I don't know. I.
But I think this is just another symptom of them having the multiple storyline, like the New York thing, you know? Like they just can't, they don't have time for that.
But New York worked really well this week, I think.
Yes, it did.
And I also I and I actually I really like Finn's journey this season so far. They've been doing a very good job with him. I mean he I think the whole the talk they have that he has with Rachel and she's talking about like what Glee Club, means beyond just the basic thing of, competing and all that stuff. It totally reminded me of our robotics club from And like it made me like want to like go and be a mentor. Like maybe want to be like and I don't know. I'm like inspired by Finn a little bit in the way that he's like helping the new generation. I like it. All right. So do we're just gonna, I think we're just gonna do it by songs and we're talking about storylines based on songs. So the first song is with Sam and Brittany and it's Something Stupid. Which I actually didn't realize the name of that song was Something Stupid. Yeah. What did you think of the song and the Britney Sam relationship and the whole thing about those lesbian bloggers?
I thought that actually that was pretty self-aware of them.
Yeah.
Because, yes, it is going to, I think, cause a stir. I mean, it sort of has, right?
Yeah, I don't, I mean, I don't, I haven't been like live tweeting and I've actually been very like separate from the community for a while. Like I don't, so I don't really know. I'm sure there are tons of people who are like pissed off that they. I mean, they're Santana and Brittany are one of the only good lesbian couples on television, so I'm sure they're probably pissed off that now she's just with the blonde boy. But how do you? I mean, how do you feel about it?
I actually thought that the fact that they addressed it directly
Yeah, made it work.
made it better. But the thing is, they can't fix Brittany's character for me.
I would say though, to me, if the to me the best thing would be now is if Santana just got in a good lesbian relationship with somebody else, or if there was just some other good lesbian relationship on the show. Because to me, Sam and Brittany as a couple makes more sense than Santana and Brittany ever did.
No, that's fine. That's fine. That's all sort of what I'm saying. Like, I can't really say that it's the greatest couple because I just don't understand Brittany.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But like,
There's so much of her this season too.
yeah, but like, I agree that I think they make more sense as a couple. And you sort of see that in the Christmas episode. I actually sort of, I think it makes sense, like you said.
I mean,
I do also wish that there was a nice relationship, nice lesbian relationship.
yeah, so I mean, I don't really have a problem with them. I think that they do have like a level of chemistry. I'm not like in love with them just because Brittany. And the fact that they had to dumb Sam down in order to get her him at her level, they're not terrible. I just think that they should be not used as much as they're being used. What do you think of the song?
It was good.
Yeah, nothing special. I mean, they're not the best singers, but they're not terrible.
I thought it was fine. I mean, like, I thought it was just sort of forgettable, honestly.
All right, all that jazz from Chicago with Cassie and Rachel.
I mean, it was so obvious who the better dancer was. And I don't think it was so obvious who the better singer was.
Yeah, I don't, I mean, I don't even know if the, what's, I forget what the, what's her name, the actual actress, I don't remember, but the, I don't even know if that's her voice, right? I mean, it is her voice, I don't really know if she has vocal training. I mean, I don't think, I haven't really heard anything from, I can't, Cassandra seems fine vocally, but I don't think I've heard her sing anything that makes me think that she stands out vocally, but that song was, I agree, in that song, they seemed about the same.
Yeah, they seemed about the same vocally, and like Cassandra was clearly the better dancer.
Beach is a teacher. I mean,
Well, I know, but like it just didn't make I don't know. It was just sort of like, wow, Rachel, you're really arrogant. I mean, I recognize this was actually one of my biggest problems with this episode, besides the weird Marley hate, was that Rachel, it's one thing to be confident and it's another to be arrogant. She just felt arrogant to me in most of this episode.
And I did think that also. Like, she could have done well, but this is her freshman year. Like, we need her to win. Like, I felt like there was too much, like, people gazing up in amazement and, like.
And I don't even think, I don't, I, you know what? I didn't like Rachel as much as I liked Kurt, which doesn't usually happen.
I would say. I think it's about song choices, though. I don't, like, I thought she did a very good job. I just think. His song to me connected more and with a better song. I think if you compared, you know, Rain on My Parade with Kurt's song, you'd say e equal or whatever.
Right, no, but what I felt was that this whole episode was about showing sort of your soul, being really musical and not just like technique being good. So actually, it sort of bothered me because it felt like she was just giving me technique.
It was like her pure vocal ability was what she was playing.
I really didn't actually feel emotionally invested in her songs.
Totally not. Yeah, I mean, neither of them really meant anything to her. I mean, the first one's just kind of about arrogance, and the second one is just like a Christmas song.
And she's Jewish.
Yeah, also, I will say this, and I mean, I'm not like I was kind of annoyed that they called it a holiday song when it's about. It's a religious song, and you cannot get past the lyrics being religious. I'm sorry. That doesn't usually bother me that much, but that's a church song. Yeah, I don't know. But banging back to all that jazz, yeah, it was fine. Their whole, I mean, I don't know. I think Cassandra is has been annoying enough, and with the whole Brody thing has been enough that I can understand Rachel just being, such a and so angry at this point that I think her actions are understandable, but I do agree that they're also kind of annoying because Cassie's still the teacher.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Being, oh, so now we're getting to being good isn't good enough. And we'll just do both of them, being good isn't good enough and Oh Holy Night. So, I mean, we kind of talked about this, but I mean, I think I liked Oh Holy Night better just because I like the song better. But.
I think I liked Being Good Isn't Good Enough better because it made more sense for me. For me, it was just really weird because that's her fa Oh Holy Night is her favorite holiday song. But like, what does that mean? Like, she's Jewish. Like, if not as though like you can't be Jewish and like Christmas music.
Yeah, but like a shallow, like, this is a beautiful song to me. That's not like a vulnerable, like, connecting. Yeah, I can see what you're saying that.
So like that sort of bothered me.
Yeah. But I mean, still, it's nice to hear her sing like songs that do display her ability and that aren't just these pop songs that you don't care about, with Brody or singing as they smush ice cream in their faces, like
Yes. And I don't want, and I really don't want to detract from her singing. Like, it's really good. I just felt like the point of this episode was, I mean, like, God, you know who I'm talking about? Whoopi Goldberg, you know.
Carbon Thibodeau.
Carmen, right. She says it herself. She makes it so clear that the point is so showing your soul and not having technique. And then she's stunned by Rachel's performance here. Like,
Yeah.
it was really weird because I've heard people sing that well, and like they wouldn't gain the acclaim of everyone in the world.
Yeah, I agree.
There are lots of people who could do that. I felt like Kurtz was actually much more meaningful.
I can agree with that totally. No, you're right. I just I think I was just happy to I think I was it was mostly just me being like glad because I feel like the music choices just haven't been great this season, and I'm just glad to see her sing something where she can display her musical talent, I guess. So like,
Yeah.
yeah. But let's talk about the good one. Let's talk about Being Alive with Kurt.
Yeah. Really.
I want to talk. I wanted to say, but before we get to the actual song, that I really liked. For two reasons, I really liked the bringing up of "I Want to Hold Your Hand" right beforehand because A, that was actually, something that would stick with a lot of the audience, I think, and B, it's great continuity leading into the episode after this where they bring up the heart attack again. Thought it was, a nice little reminder that that existed as part of the story.
Yeah.
But what do you think of the? I mean, you love the performance, I'm assuming.
I really liked it.
Yeah.
I really liked it. This was the performance in both of these episodes. This was the performance that like actually stood out to me.
Yeah.
And I think I'll actually remember it
Yeah, totally.
and actually made me have feelings while I was listening to it. Beyond just like, oh yeah, I remember that the professional singer can sing. Like,
I also I think I mean I had never heard the song before and I really like the song. I don't do,
yeah.
is it from something?
It's from Company.
Okay. I thought it was a very good song. I thought it connected with him, but with also with like a lot of people. And it was just, and also it wasn't the kind of song he usually sings, and it was
No.
using his usual range really, so that was interesting.
I really liked it. No, it wasn't relying, as they've said, like he usually relies on these sort of gimmicks. This didn't.
Yeah.
And vocally too, like yeah, he can sing really high and that's impressive.
Yeah.
But that's not what this was about. That's not what this performance was about.
Totally. Yeah, I thought it was very good. I think surrounding that and surrounding that whole section with New York, we should probably talk about Brody and, the whole, beginning of heading towards a relationship, I guess.
I'm still uneasy, deeply, deeply uneasy.
I don't think that anything is gonna I don't I think that he's supposed I think that he's like never gonna not be a good guy. It's just he's never gonna be someone I like though. He just seems like a weird I don't know. Do you think I still don't know whether I'm supposed to like him or I'm supposed to hate him.
I can't tell either, and that's what makes me uneasy because this show usually tells you who to like and who not to like pretty clearly.
And
So on the one hand, like he's maybe one of the most interesting characters.
Yes, but except that I don't, except that get the feeling that I'm guess supposed to like him, or I think the feeling is that you're supposed to be satisfied with him while you wait for Finn to get back with her. Like,
Maybe.
I mean, what did you think of the whole phone call with Finn? I mean, I don't know.
Oh, I actually really liked that because it felt really realistic. Like Rachel was calling to talk about her winning, and he thinks that she's calling about the New Directions losing.
Yeah.
And then he realizes like what she actually might be calling him about. I don't know. I thought that that was really good. I liked
I
it.
thought it was a, I thought it was a great conversation. And I also just liked I liked that the you know I think both with the Kurt and Blaine interactions and the Finn and Rachel interactions have been very good in the way that they're like still sort of holding something there, but it's more like we've kind of grown up, but we're not forgetting each other. And I think it's been handled well, and we're not, you know, I think in general the relationships are not, I mean, in a way they're a focus because of all the turmoil, but like they're still like the characters are being more their own people now, and I like that a lot. All right, so is there anything else? I mean, so we have the stupid all the joining people joining all the new clubs thing.
Joe's club was pretty hilarious. I actually thought that that like cutaway scene was like really great.
Yeah, it was pretty funny, and I like that Unique did hockey. I thought that was pretty cool. It was just, you know, it was a silly thing. And then what else happened? Oh, so there was stupid Sue stuff, you know, being Sue. I don't
What is she?
know. She's like mentally insane. She doesn't know who she is as a human being. She, you know what she is? She's a good person if she can connect with you, but once she like gets angry at you or doesn't see a personal connection with you, she's not nice. It's you know those people who are like who everybody else says that are like awful, but you're like, but they're nice to me. It's like,
Okay, that makes sense.
yeah.
That actually sort of rationalizes it.
Because I mean, she's only nice in the next episode because she sees the connection of a single mom who's struggling, and you know she like is nice to what's her name, Becky, because of her sister and stuff like that. So I don't know, but especially I think I mean the Finn hair being mad at Finn makes a little bit of sense because of what he said about her daughter, but yeah, I don't know if you actually he.
I remember that. I remember that.
Okay, so then we get to the end when they're out in the snow. Okay, am I the only person? I'm asking both you this and the audience. Am I the only person who really felt like this could have easily been a romantic scene between Finn and Marley? I mean.
I sort of felt like that, but then I also felt that way with so often with Will and any of the and Finn is even closer in age, so
Finn's only
I'm
like,
kind of used to it with Glee now.
I mean, Finn could actually like it would be a little weird because he is like in an authority position or whatever, but he's like 16 and he's 18. Like, there's absolutely really isn't. I mean, and at the very least, I think it seemed to me it seems like it would actually make perfect sense for her to have a crush on him if nothing else. But I don't know if I actually want that. It just seemed like the.
I don't want that, but I could see it happening.
Yeah. I think she has a good relationship with Jake now, so but okay, so they do Don't Dream It's Over and everybody comes back and yeah, happiness. I mean, I don't know. What do you want to do? Is there anything to say about it? I don't I mean I
I still just don't understand Kitty, but whatever.
Yeah, I yeah, I don't
But I didn't understand Quinn.
Yeah. I don't know what Kitty's deal is. She's weird. I don't know. I don't know. I do like this song. It's just a song that I've always liked. And I liked, you know, the whole snow thing. But I don't know. It was a lot more exciting to me when I thought that they were just gonna not have any competitions after this. But now that it seems like they might, you know, pull like a switcheroo and find a way back into competitions, then I'm just like, I don't know. It's not like I have an issue with competitions. It's just.
The thing is, if one team is disqualified and then another team is disqualified, this is what I was going to say earlier. Like, pretty sure they don't just say, like, oh, well, the first team that was disqualified is no longer disqualified. Like.
Point. Also, wait. Only one person moves on. Add if it's like a first, second, and third place, right? Only
Yeah.
one of the teams moves on to regional.
Right. This is right, isn't it? Yeah. So what about.
Team.
Yeah.
So wouldn't they go? What does it matter?
I don't know, Dan. There must be some weird thing.
Well,
They'll explain it.
yeah.
I bet, I'm sure they'll explain it.
Right. All right. You want to move on to. Yeah, because there's so much music in that last one, there isn't that much to say about it beyond I liked the music or I didn't like the music.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk? We want to move on to Gliakli, or do you have anything else you want to say about Swan Song?
Tinkles.
Oh yeah, I forgot that happened.
Best part.
That was really funny. Yeah.
Yeah, that was really great. Do we say what? No, you guys know what happens there.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if they know who Tinkles is though. We haven't seen Tinkles in a long time, so I don't know.
Does he have a name?
No, dude, Brad. I think it's
Brad.
name.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's also if I don't know if you ever watched Glee Project episode 0. Yeah, I think you did because we talked about it, and they actually showed him actually working with the kids, and
Yeah.
really cool in real life.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Okay, so Glee actually, when I heard the title, I was not excited, but. I ended up. There are parts of this episode that I don't like, but there are other parts that I like.
Yeah, feel the same way.
How would you grade it?
B, B plus.
Okay. What do you think? It's weird because it's uneven.
Right, that's why I would ultimately give it like B plus.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna give it a B plus two. Yeah, it sounds about right. It's definitely, I think it's definitely my favorite Christmas episode. And I think that the idea they had of doing these separate storylines was a really good one, actually. I felt like we spent a lot more time in a row with a char with characters, and it made me like characters that I hadn't liked in a while and stuff like
Yeah,
that.
I kind of wish they do this sort of format more often.
It was pretty cool. Yeah, just good stuff. Good stuff with that format thing. It worked really well, and I also like the way they set it up with that really quick thing with Sue. Totally worked, and I got it, and then it just like went into it. And they managed to get a lot of stuff into each thing between each commercial break. I was like
Yeah.
impressed. But there are uneven stories, which we'll get into because we'll just go by each song, and each song's from each story. So, all
It works. Yep.
right. So Feliz Navidad is from the Artie storyline. So you didn't like this, right?
Well, okay. Let me explain some things. I sort of like the idea that of how important the Glee Club is.
Yeah.
What I don't like is the idea that Artie needs to be handicapped for those good things to happen to other people.
Yeah, okay. I have an
That's what I don't
I
like.
think I have an interesting perspective here as someone who's disabled. I mean, obviously my vision problems aren't nearly as bad as not being able to walk, but at first I was really annoyed. So I should just say, just recap, just that this is basically It's a Wonderful Life, but he says he wants to not have had the wheelchair thing happen. And at first I was really annoyed because I was like, so the moral of the story is don't complain about your disability because you should just be glad that good things happen to
Yeah.
you. So, but. When I thought about it, to me, like, if I could go back and like magically make it so that I had perfect vision from as soon as I was born, I would not do that because I would not be the same person I am today. And the fact that the final dialogue he has,
Yeah.
where he says it's a part of me, it's part of what made me who I am. Yeah, clearly, yes, you should be. I mean, you should be able to complain about it. You should be able to be upset about it and angry about it. But at the same time. Why would you want to stop yourself? Unless it's something really terrible. I mean, like, why would you not want to be who you are? And going through, difficult times is part of what shapes you as a person and what
Yeah.
you to become a better person a lot of the time, hopefully. So, I mean, I guess I could relate to him, both the anger and the final moment. So, I,
That did a bit better for me, Dan,
yeah.
hearing that.
And I thought there were some really cool continuity things going on, I thought. I mean, there's some ridiculousness to it, definitely, but I mean, A, I loved Rory's little cameo.
Yes, I like that.
B, drunken Will, who is still with Terry
Yes, the
and Emma and Ken together. And I absolutely loved I loved Finn being like, that was so gay at the end of the performance, just because I feel like that was so like what would actually happen in real life.
Yeah.
And yeah, and I thought there were some cool points. The whole I also like the line Quinn texts and drives in every time line.
So I was watching this with my friend who doesn't really watch Glee, and I like paused it at that point and I was like, this is ridiculous. Quinn only like that only happened because she was going to Rachel and Finn's wedding and blah 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 blah. And then I unpaused it and Artie was like, this is ridiculous. That only happened because okay. Glad Glee is on the same page. What I don't understand is Rachel working as a librarian.
Yeah, that doesn't.
Because like she was pretty high maintenance before Glee Club.
Yeah, I no, that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. Maybe they just wanted to have Rachel be in the episode a little bit more because she wasn't in like any of the other
Yeah.
storylines. I think yeah, I think yeah, no matter what, she could have, done.
I don't understand why her personality changed.
Yeah, that was silly. But I also no Blaine and Kurt. Like Kurt acted totally different, like even during the performance and stuff. I thought it
Yeah.
was cool. I was like, it was a fun little idea. It was a little bit ridiculous, but overall,
Yeah.
I'm not huge on Feliz Navidad as a song, but
Yeah.
I'm gonna say the ultimate thing I took away from this is, no matter whether he's gonna care or not, why does Artie have to dress the way he does, and why is he wearing glasses?
I don't know.
Looked so much better. I was just like, can't he just always not be weird like that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Right, let's move on to the Kurt thing.
So this was obviously one of the better
Yeah.
ones.
Yeah, totally. I think it's probably it was probably my favorite just because I just love the relationship with Bert and Kurt, and I thought the Blaine stuff was nice too. And that's all the putting the tree up and the whole walking the game thing, and I liked a lot about it. And the diner scene was really good. I wonder if this is gonna be a continuing plot thread or whether it was just like a one-time thing with the father being sick.
I mean, they'll have to pick it up at some point, at least if it's, even if it's just a like one line
Yeah.
thing. Like, well, good thing now that my prostate's been removed, I don't have cancer. Like,
I guess my question is more, do you think that they'll have Bert die?
yeah, I've been wondering about that, but I don't think so. Partly just because Kurt's mom is already dead.
That's true.
I can't imagine Glee actually like
Orphaning someone.
orphaning Kurt.
Yeah. That would be pretty.
I don't think they do that.
Yeah. At most.
Think they might make it so that he like goes into remission or something, but I don't think.
They could.
But the thing is, prostate cancer, if it's been detected early,
Yeah.
if they wanted to kill him off, I don't think they would have given him prostate cancer.
Well, do you think he'll have to get surgery? That could be like.
Yes. And I think he might be depressed after he has the surgery, right? Because like it's a very invasive procedure, but I would imagine that he really wants to stick around
Yeah.
for Kurt, so he'd be willing to go through that sort of thing.
I could totally picture a storyline where like Kurt is waiting for the dad as he's in surgery, freaking out, and that somehow gets Blaine and Kurt back together.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that that could happen. What do you think of White Christmas?
Good.
Yeah, it was good.
The end. Like, I don't know. It was really cute.
Yeah,
I really, yeah.
like they're ice skating in the hole. It was fun for the performance.
Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff. They always do a good Christmas duet, so yeah. And I guess like the Blaine interaction. I also just love the trio of them and the fact that like Blaine and Bert work really well together too.
I really like the basketball game and what and reading Vogue thing.
Yeah. I wonder if a different person wrote each storyline. I wouldn't be surprised.
It's possible.
All right, let's move on to Ohanaka, unless you have anything else you want to say.
No,
Okay.
I'm good.
Oh, I want to say Rachel's wearing really, really short skirts.
She is. She really, really is. Yes.
When they like it cut to like the her like on her back in the mirror, and I was just like, whoa, like what are they doing? She
I don't know.
always has to wear black, and it's just weird. I don't know.
She's in New York now. I don't know.
All New Yorkers wear black 24/7.
Yeah, obviously.
Right. Oh, and we didn't mention the Kurgan Tuniata, so.
Oh, yes, good for Kurt. I would have also accepted him into Niada. I probably, based on the performances we saw, would have made him win the showcase, but
Yeah, me too, actually.
I mean, if Rachel was the next best.
Also, so I wonder, it might be cool. I think that we could maybe finally get a class other than the dance class out of Kurt being there. Maybe
Yeah.
class together that has.
Oh, wait, hold on. We have something else to talk about with the Christmas episode is that Blaine is also going to apply to Niada,
Yes.
and Kurt didn't look happy about it.
He didn't look. He looked uneasy, I would say.
Yeah, but that means something.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy about it, so screw Kurt.
Okay.
I'd like Blaine to always be in that storyline because I like Blaine, and that's usually the better storyline.
I think that Blaine just should have been in that story. Like, Blaine should have been the same year as Kurt, and then he just should have been in the storyline the whole time.
Though I did like the difficulty of long distance, but
Yeah, but we already had that.
yeah, I wonder in general. So okay, so Blaine will go to Niada. We might. I'm thinking we'll see the end of Tina and Artie next year, or at least like they'll become like Mike and Mercedes.
They're really not doing much to make me like Tina.
Yeah,
I'll tell you that much.
really, she's awful. I'm assuming that they'll probably be gone, and or at least you know they'll be like Pock or Quinn or whatever, where they show up like once every 5 seconds, like once every 10 episodes, and then but I, so Sam is also leaving, and maybe Brittany. You think they'll actually let Brittany graduate?
I don't know.
I think that I'm surprised that they're not doing a storyline where Brittany's trying to get her like stuff together so that he can graduate and move to be near Santana.
But now they're doing this whole thing.
So I don't know. But I'm assuming they'll bring in new kids again next year, which will be weird again, but well, maybe it'll be good. All right, let's talk about this is the Marley. No, we I skipped a bunch of
It's the Jake and Puck
Yeah,
one.
the Q bros.
Yeah.
What do you think of this?
Okay, guys, confession. Since I really like Supernatural and this episode vaguely reminded me of it, it was my favorite. So that's all I have to say.
This trip going on a trip together.
Yeah, the older brother's like, hey, younger brother,
Yeah.
we don't hang out that much, but we should. Let's go on a road trip.
It's great.
And then they're like, oh, younger brother, I'm lonely all by myself. And younger brother's like, I'm so glad I have an older brother. And they're like, family's the most important thing. The end.
Yeah, it was nice. I liked it. I mean, it was goofy and ridiculous, but that's
Also really like Puck,
sort
so.
of like I like both of them a lot.
Yeah.
They're a good combination, and I they seem like different people. Like I'm glad they don't seem like clones. They seem like
No, they also I really like their relationship.
yeah.
So, yeah.
And I liked the whole thing with the mothers. I thought that was good.
Yeah. I really like this
I
one.
also just like the fact that like Puck was like trying to seem bad. Like it just fits his character so well that he was trying to seem cooler than he was, and then it.
Shows vulnerability.
Yeah, because at first it was like, at first I didn't know whether, because like Puck is ridiculous, so I didn't know whether they were actually going to be like, yeah, Puck is suddenly like a major screenwriter and has a massive house. Wouldn't have been surprised if that was the actual storyline. So I don't know, but. Yeah, and I also, what was the other thing I was going to say? Oh, just the fact that we don't have a whole lot of sibling stuff in the show, so I think it's nice to get.
Yeah, I really like that. Because we could have Finn and Kurt, but we just kind of don't.
And we don't have any sisters, right? Yeah, I don't think so.
No.
Yeah.
Sue and her sister.
Oh yes, that's true. Oh yeah, we have a lot of brothers, especially with Blaine and his brother had that episode.
Oh,
We have
yeah.
the stepbrothers and All right, so yeah, and I like the parent stuff. I thought that was cool. They're actually seeing their parents, and the scene was good.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about actually the Oh Hanukkah song.
It was funny.
Yeah, I couldn't tell whether, like, obviously it sounds like ridiculous, but I couldn't tell if that was just because, like, I don't, does it sound any more ridiculous than a lot of the Christmas songs that just seem normal now because we've heard them so many times? I don't really know.
I think that's the case. I can say like I celebrate both Hanukkah and Christmas. 'Cause my mom's Jewish, my dad's, well,
Complicated.
yeah, it's complicated, guys. But anyway, we celebrate both. And okay, well, apparently it's a traditional Yiddish Hanukkah song, but I sort of doubt how traditional it is. Just because, like, Hanukkah didn't used to be a big thing.
It was fun. I mean, I don't understand why. And I actually, I really liked, just as a film person, I really liked that they were going around like the film sets, but it doesn't really make it any sense. But whatever. It was good, ridiculous fun.
Yeah. Oh, apparently it is. It's traditional.
Oh.
It was, yeah, I mean, it was published even as early as 1909, so.
Awesome. I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah, that's cool. So that's nice.
And good exposure. And just I'm just glad that they did that at other that they did something with Hanukkah at all. That's, I mean,
I'm really surprised that Rachel, I don't know, but
yeah, Rachel's always been not great for the whole Hanukkah thing.
especially because isn't Rachel, she does like identify as Jewish. It's not like
Yeah,
it's not,
she identifies as Jewish.
right. So it's not like she's just sort of atheist or whatever and
Yeah, there was even an episode, or like in the religious episode, she like told
yeah.
Finn that she wanted her kids to be raised Jewish.
Right.
So, yeah.
But her favorite holiday song is O Holy Night.
Yeah.
I can tell you right now, like, my mom would never say something like, my favorite holiday song is O Holy Night. Like, it might be something like, I don't know, another like actually holiday song, like when some sort of like jazzy tune, but it wouldn't be like a church carol.
Like a secular Christmas song,
Yeah.
maybe, or like, yeah. I mean, how many people are gonna say a Hanukkah song? Because there aren't that many of them. But I mean,
Yeah.
okay. So, do you have anything else you want to say about that? Should we go to Jingle Bell Rock?
Let's go to Jingle Bell Rock.
So, what did you think of this?
Well, I liked what Brittany and Sam told everyone at the Mayan Apocalypse Club.
Yes. That was
I thought that was really appropriate.
yeah. I it also gave us the information we had never known before, that Tina wants to be an actress. And I also love that she was gonna call Marley a delight, and Marley
Yeah.
mad.
I
That was really funny.
liked that. And I mean, at least this sort of makes sense for their characters, right?
And I also thought that, like, you know, it was timely, it was comedically timely and funny, and it, you know, it because they had so many different storylines, it was like we had a, you know, we had a Jewish storyline, we had like a bunch of regular Christmas ones, and then we got like this ridiculous other thing that happens in December of this year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it made sense to me, and I liked Beast's inclusion.
Yeah, me too.
So that was funny. Yeah, I don't know. It was ridiculous, but
I was so worried. Oh, you need to say your theory, Dan.
well, I don't know if it's a theory, it's more of a worry. My worry was the idea of Sam and Brittany having tons of unprotected sex once they were married and thought the world was ending, and then her getting pregnant in subsequent episodes. Yeah, hopefully not.
Yeah.
Mean, I don't know. Do you they've been showing her so much, and she's always been so ridiculous that I can't really put anything past them. But a pregnant Britney sounds not like something I want.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, let's not do that.
What about Jingle Bell Rock? What do you think of the song?
It was good. I mean, it was Jingle Bell. I don't think any of the songs in this episode were like standouts, really.
No.
They were all just like enjoyable, like fluff, you know. With the possible exception of White Christmas, which was, you know, pretty good, but even that wasn't that like special.
Yeah.
All right, you want to go to the first Noel, or is there anything? There isn't much to say about this Mayan thing except it was ridiculous.
Yeah. First of all.
Right. So Marley's storyline. What do you think of this? On second viewing, I thought the mother, the Marley's mother, was actually having a sort of strange reaction at the beginning with.
Because she wants to spend all the money on therapy.
Because just about like that, she was like sort of like saying it like semi like ang like I mean obviously it was coming out of a positive place, but she was like sort of saying angrily and like taking presents away. It's not like she was saying I want to go without so that you can have stuff. She was saying you need to go without so that you can get better, which sounds kind of strange, doesn't it? Like.
Well, I think it's be I mean, like she was explaining, like no one can get presents this year
Yeah.
because you getting better has to be the first priority. And like I think that would be really hard for a mom to say,
Yeah.
but like if you're actually that low on money, it's true, and your kid has to understand it.
It was they have a good relationship. I mean, they're definitely they needed a Bert and Kurt for the female side, and I think they managed it pretty well. Do you still like Marley and everything?
I like Marley. She's delightful.
She is delightful. Yeah, and I thought, yeah, she's been good. Their relationship was nice, and then we had the whole Sue being the nice present maker, which we
Very Grinch, right?
yeah, it is strange. But yeah, I'm trying to think what else really happened in this. I think this was
This actually felt really short to me, this one. I felt like not as much happened.
yeah. It was a little bit like tacked on, but I mean, it was nice, but it was very short.
Yeah.
No, I guess all I can say is I like Marley and I like her mom. I
Yeah.
don't really have much to say.
I like the Marley and me thing.
The Marley, what was the Marley and me thing?
Her mom goes to Sue's office and is like, thank you for what you've done for Marley and me. And Sue's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I had no involvement in the making of that film.
That's funny. I forgot about it. I sort of missed that, I guess.
It was good.
And first Noel. I mean, it wasn't like even like I mean, there was no audio or I mean, no.
Can I say that I sort of enjoyed the first Noel more than Oh Holy Night?
You can. I mean,
You won't back me up.
I can. I mean, it's much sweeter and simpler and not as grand.
The thing is, I felt like she actually was singing it
With emotion.
with emotion, and Oh Holy Night felt so overproduced.
Okay, I can see that. Yeah, stripped down and yeah, it was. I think it was.
Do it without the props.
I think the thing might have been that the first Noel was really short. They did like a really super short version, and so it doesn't really have a whole lot. It didn't have a whole lot of impact on me. But no, but I like Marley's voice, and I think she is in some ways more emotionally deep in her singing sometimes than Rachel will is. My sister doesn't really like Rachel singing because she thinks she sounds like a kid in some ways, and she doesn't sound like a woman singing. I think that Marley actually might be a little bit more accomplished at that. But okay, so I should we just move on to the last song?
Yes.
Elf, Merry Little Christmas with everybody.
Let's see. Well, my favorite is obviously the part when Puckett is like, family, blah, blah, blah. Let's sing in a bar slash breadsticks. I like that.
Yeah.
And their moms getting along.
Whole montage with the song I thought worked really nicely.
Yeah, I liked it.
I'm a fan of Marley's outfit in that song.
Yeah. I like their outfits in general in that song. The ones on the stage, not I mean in general, but
What was the other thing? Oh, the only other thing, which I think it's both "A Holy Night" and "Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas," both are forever changed for me by The Vampire Diaries, and I cannot listen to them without thinking about Klaus killing a bunch of people with.
yeah, I even saw that song. I remember that.
So, yeah, it was funny because I think I watched, I can't, I think I watched this Glee episode like right after I watched that Vampire Diaries episode. So I was like, this is funny. All right, so that's pretty much it with the episodes. We have two emails. Do you want to read the first one?
Sure. All right. So this.
They're both from the same person.
Yeah, they're both from Lisa, right? Dan? Yes. Okay. All right, let's see. All right. Hi, Oral Intensity Podcast. Let's see. Let's get to... Okay, so Lisa gives Swan Song an A. She says her favorite song... I'll just read it. My absolute favorite song was in the end of Don't Dream It's Over. I love the whole holiday theme in the end. I could not believe that the New Directions, or at least some of them, were blaming Marley when it was clearly Kitty's fault. I just wish Marley would stand up for herself more. It's not her fault, you know. And the thing with Sam and Brittany scares me a little because I feel as though it is not something you would think would happen. I hope I'm not confusing you when I say that. Maybe I'll figure it out later. Sue is just being mean again when we all know she will soon have a heart again. Lastly, I just loved the idea of all the clubs they joined, especially Joe's club. It made me really LOL. I hope I'm not bothering either of you since you've not posted a podcast. I just want you to know that each of you brighten my day each time I hear you on the podcast. Thanks for listening to me rant about the show. Well, first off, like, definitely keep sending us emails. I know I really like to read them.
Yeah, totally.
We really like to hear your thoughts and stuff.
And I totally apologize. We have emails for episodes we skipped, and obviously we're going to keep them, and if we ever do those episodes, we'll read them then. But just in general, I apologize for not really getting back with emails. School's been crazy and all that jazz, and I don't really have a whole leg to stand on because I've been on winter break, but I apologize.
You were totally right with Sue.
Yeah, she was.
And I think what you mean with Sam and Brittany is, like, because you didn't think that, like, in either of their characters it made that much sense.
Mm.
Or, like, for their character arcs.
Yeah.
I can sort of see that, at least with Brittany.
Well, yeah, A, it didn't seem like Brittany should be over Santana yet. And B, it did seem like they were just friends.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly, I mean, you can take that if you want as Sam was being her friend while he was with Santana because he liked her and yet he wasn't going to go after her because he knew she was with Santana. But still, I don't know. It's a little bit odd.
They just feel more like friends to me still.
Yeah. I don't think I'm ever going to be, like, invested in this couple. I think they would have been fine as friends. But I don't have a whole lot of an issue if that either.
Yeah,
I guess to me the only reason that I like am sort of happy about it is because I don't just want it to be that like a couple episodes from now all the original couples that broke up are just back together, and I mean it seems like Finn and Rachel are headed back together and Kurt and Blaine are back together.
Mm-hmm.
Santana and Brittany I don't really want to get back together, at least not for a while.
Mm.
All right, so I'll read her second email, also from Lisa. I'm just going to skip part of the beginning because she's more talking like to us than about the episode. So I'm going to start with... So on the episode of Glee, actually, I really enjoyed the whole part of Artie having his epiphany dream where he realizes having his wheelchair is not as bad as he thinks it is. If Glee Club would have never... not ever happened, there would be no Glee, and that is too sad an image. So it's too sad to imagine. There would be no podcast, and I would not have ever listened to awesome people like you guys.
Aww.
Out of all the songs, my favorite in this episode was White Christmas, sung by Blaine and Kurt. I thought the way the storyline with Kurt's dad was so sad. Why did the writers have to do that to the father of the year?
Yeah.
And the fact that Bert flew Blaine in to see Kurt was just amazing. Then the next scene where the Puckerman brothers brought their moms together was hilarious, and my other favorite scene had to be with Brittany and Sam having their club and telling some of the other Glee Club members how they felt. You like a thought on everything we said.
Yeah, basically.
Especially liked when Marley got mad, but then Brittany said she was the
Yep.
The ending with Sue helping Marley and her mom was a loss of words for me. That was so nice of Sue. Well, thanks for listening to me rant about the Glee episodes. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas. She says, P.S. I sent you an email attached with my Glee speech. Can you please send me that attachment back ASAP? Thanks.
Good job, Dan.
I didn't do that. I apologize. Maybe I won't cut that out because I'm apologizing. But wait, but what email? Wait, so why does she need the attachment back? I really totally need to look at that. All right, I'll do that later. But okay, so that's, I mean, I guess, although the other thing I have to do is look, is get a review up. So give me one second
Oh, yeah.
to get a review up. Oh, wait. I forgot that now we have the podcast app, so I can't actually get it on the iTunes thing.
Well, wait, while you're doing this, I'd like to point out that sometimes our email gets like spam emails. And we got this one spam email from someone, quote unquote, called Ecuadorian Banana. And the subject line is just, "We offer high quality Ecuadorian banana." And yeah, I don't know. I thought it was pretty funny.
It is pretty silly.
I didn't open it because I'm sort of afraid of what will happen, but the preview of the message is, "Dear importer, following our compromise to attend our custom," so I don't know what it's going to say about their compromise over Ecuadorian bananas, but
Okay, so the reviewer I was looking for, I guess, what is it, a date on it? And it was before the last time we podcasted, so I'm assuming I've already read it and I just forgot that I read it.
okay.
But we have 40 reviews now, which makes me very happy. And
Yay.
I like round numbers, but I mean, please still review us on iTunes and rate us. And
Review us 10 times.
yeah, we need 10 reviews so we can get to 50. Yeah, here's your goal. Get us to 50 reviews by our 50th podcast, which is only two podcasts away. So, and yeah, so we're gonna try to be on track, for the future with upcoming episodes. Even if we like miss a week, we'll try to do like a double podcast the following week,
Yeah.
meaning a double episode, two episodes in one. And I mean, because I kind of need that. Because I mean, clearly this one isn't going that long. We're talking about two episodes, so I mean, we might even just wait 2 weeks until the 2 weeks are up. But
We'll see what the next episode is like.
yeah,
When something controversial happens, we tend to be able to talk about it for longer. Like it, when they do the after school special type
yeah,
episode.
and yeah, please send us email next for the next episode, oralintensitypodcast@gmail.com. If you want, okay, so if you were wondering for months where we were, what was going on, the best way to know what's going on is by following me on Twitter. That's at dwhite685, white like the color. And yeah, I mean, I guess I could have posted an update on the blog explaining what was going on, but I didn't. But I definitely always tell people what's going on Twitter. So if you want to follow that way, that works. And you don't even, or you can just, if you don't have Twitter, you don't like Twitter. I also, even on the blog, if you go on oralintensitypodcast.blogspot.com, on the side, it shows you like my recent tweets, and you can see that too. All right, so we ended up going really long talking about other shows. So we decided we're just gonna do like a special episode, with us talking about other shows. And if you feel like listening to it, you can listen to it. It's probably mostly it's gonna be Doctor Who, but who knows where we'll go from here.
Supernatural.
and yeah, so if you want to listen to it, we're gonna put it on the blog. I don't know. I mean, I might put it on iTunes. You can say special fun episode. I don't know. We'll see. It, actually, if you put it on the blog, it automatically goes on iTunes. I forgot about that. So there you go.
There is freedom within, there is freedom without. Try to catch the deluge in a paper cup. There's a battle ahead, many battles are lost, but you'll never see the end of the road while you're traveling.